And if you have your Bibles, I'd like to turn your attention to Mark chapter 6. I give honor to every pastor, every youth pastor, every district official that's here tonight. Give honor to the missionary that's here tonight. It's not easy to do what he's doing. I give him honor and his family honor tonight. This amazing praise team has led us into the presence of God. Thank you for not only being talented, but being anointed. That's what we need nowadays, is the anointing to flow. Praise God. Can I get an amen? Mark chapter 6, beginning at verse 14. If you're there, say amen. If you're not there, say hold up. If you're cheating on the screen, say amen. No shame in your game. Praise God. And King Herod heard of him, for his name was spread abroad, and he said that John the Baptist was risen from the dead, and therefore mighty works do show forth themselves in him. Others said that it is Elias, and others said that it is a prophet or as one of the prophets. But when Herod heard thereof, he said, it is John, whom I beheaded, he is risen from the dead. For Herod himself had sent forth and laid hold upon John and bound him in prison. And these next three words I want us to say together in unison. For Herodias' sake, on the count of three, I want us to say it all together. One, two, three. For Herodias' sake. For Herodias' sake, his brother Philip's wife, for he had married her. For John had said unto Herod, it is not lawful for thee to have thy brother's wife. Therefore Herodias had a quarrel against him and would have killed him, but she could not. For Herod feared John, knowing that he was a just man and holy, and observed him. And when he heard him, he did many things and heard him gladly. Heard him gladly. I've been in a prayer meeting today, a hotel room, been asking the Lord to help me, and I can't get this message off my spirit, which means somebody needs to hear it. So I want to preach to you tonight from this topic, competing voices. Competing voices. Why don't we lift our hands, ask the Holy Ghost to help us. God, without you, I can do nothing. Without you, God, and your anointing, God, I can do nothing, God. So I'm asking that you take the coals of the altar and place them upon my lips right now. God, I'm praying that you would make me a great reacher tonight. God, help me to reach past the facade. Help me to reach past the things that humanity can see. And God, anoint me to reach for somebody's heart tonight. Fill someone with the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. If you believe God's going to speak to you, clap your hands as you're seated in the presence of the Lord. Competing voices. In the books, Habits of the Heart, a man by the name of Robert Bella and his colleagues interviewed a young nurse named Sheila Larson, whom they described as representing the experience and views of many Americans on religion. Speaking on her faith and how it worked in her life, she makes this statement, I believe in God, but I'm not a religious fanatic. I can't remember the last time I went to church. My faith has carried me this far. And this ideology is called Sheilaism. And it can be described in four words. Just my little voice. We have to be careful that this ideology isn't creeping in to the church and into the minds of young people today. I don't need a pastor. I don't need a youth pastor. If God wants to speak to me, he will speak to me directly. I don't need a shepherd. Oh, I feel like meddling tonight. I'm 18 years old now, and I got my phone, and I got a little girlfriend. I got a little boo thing. I can think for myself now. I just don't need parents to tell me who I can and can't date. I don't need authority, and it's bleeding through the society that, forget the police, we don't need them. Oh, I just don't need anybody telling me what to do. Because if God wants to speak to me, he'll speak to me directly. You know what that mindset is? That came from Egypt. Oh, yeah, I feel like preaching against something right now. That mindset came from Egypt. That mindset that I don't need authority or I don't need a shepherd came right from Egypt. Egypt was a type and shadow of the world. And we better be careful that we're not accepting ideologies from Egypt. Oh, Brother Jones, what do you mean by that? Genesis tells us how Egypt feels about shepherds. That shepherds were an abomination to the Egyptians. They thought that shepherds were inferior to them and a lower occupation. But I think it's greater than that. I think that they knew that there was something special about a shepherd. There was something special about the shepherd. That if I'm going to get the sheep, I've got to get the shepherd first. I'm going to preach to somebody dealing with bondage. I'm going to preach to somebody that's bound by pornography. I'm going to preach to you right now. You need a shepherd to get out of Egypt. I'm going to preach you out of your bondage tonight. If you're going to get out of Egypt, you've got to have a Moses. If I don't have a Moses, I'm not getting out of Egypt. Brother Jones, what do you mean? That you need a Moses. I've just got to go back, or I got to go back just a little bit to Exodus, and I've got to ask you a question. What was Moses? He was a shepherd. And there is no Exodus without a shepherd. There is no getting out of bondage without a shepherd. Thank God for shepherds in 2025 that'll tell you something that you don't like to hear. Thank God for shepherds that'll tell you you're in the wrong relationship and you need to get out. Thank God for a shepherd. Oh, yeah. Thank God for a shepherd. Thank God for a shepherd. I'm going to say something that some of you ain't going to like, but I don't really care. I'm going to say it anyways. I like him. He's going to preach with me. If nobody else preaches with me, I know that brother's going to preach with me tonight. Oh, yeah. You know, I just believe that if you're going to go to a church and be a part of a church, your favorite preacher should be your pastor. I figure that would be unpopular. Well, what about the big name evangelists? What about the people that's preaching in NAYC? I guarantee you those men ain't fasting and praying for you. I guarantee you those men ain't showing up when you're tired and you're sick in the hospital. Thank God that we got a shepherd that cares about us, that cares about pulling us out of hell, pulling us out of bondage. Thank God for a shepherd. Thank God for a shepherd. Thank God for a shepherd. I'm thankful for my man of God. I'm thankful for my man of God. But I guarantee you if we did a poll here tonight, can I get down here where everybody is? Okay. I guarantee you if we did a poll tonight and said, who's your top five favorite preachers? Well, the Landon Gores, the Taylor Fishes, Sam Emery's, the Mark Morgans. But I tell you who probably wouldn't fit in your top five. Somebody that is going to be a straight shooter. That don't care about your feelings. Oh, that's not politically correct, Brother Jones. Please don't call sin sin. Just say it nice so nobody leaves and goes to another church because you offended them. Just be nice. You know, you're dealing with a generation that, you know, you got to tell them easy. You got to bring them on easy. I don't know. I want to describe a preacher to you tonight by a few words. Faithful, set apart, committed. One who prepared the way. The Bible describes him as the voice. He was selfless. He was the forerunner. The message that he preached was repentance. His job was to prepare the people. He had a weird diet. He consumed locusts and wild honey. To others, he was considered strange. But this man that I'm describing to you tonight loved his mission. The Bible describes him as more than a prophet. He was God's mouthpiece. He was unworthy to unlatch Jesus' shoes. He was a preacher. But the last way I want to describe this man is he was the voice. The voice of the one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Luke 7 and 28 states that there is none greater born of woman than this man, John the Baptist. He was obsessed with his mission to prepare for the one that was greater than himself. The Judeans came out to the wasteland to see and hear this man preach. This wild-looking man had no power or position in the Jewish political system, but spoke with such authority. His message was never about him, but was pointing towards one that was to come. People came to hear this man that would prophesy about a man that was coming. Matthew 3 and 4 states that he wore camel's hair and a leather girdle around his waist, and his food was a little strange. His clothing didn't just signify poverty, but to a Jewish audience, it linked him to the prophet Elijah, who wore similar clothing. But his message of conviction and confrontation wasn't always received well. Fear wasn't a part of John's vocabulary. He wasn't afraid of anybody. Just imagine with me today as we go on a spiritual journey, and I'm going to preach to you tonight from the KJV. The Kerry Jones version. But I'm going to stay in the Word tonight. John would have to confront a man by the name of Herod and confront his sin. Luke 3 and 19 would state that John the Baptist reproved or rebuked Herod for having his brother's wife. That word reproved literally means to expose. Oh, we're going to have fun tonight. Can you imagine as there is a crowd gathering? Keep that verse on the screen. Put that verse back on the screen, please. Can you imagine as John the Baptist gathers this crowd, and as the crowd is coming to hear the voice, there is a man that sneaks in to hear the preacher. Excuse me. I want to sit right here. No, sit down. I'm going to sit next to you. Don't be afraid. Hey, what is he preaching about tonight? Is he preaching good? What's going on? Okay. Preaching good? Okay. Don't tell anybody I'm here. Okay. I'm just trying to sneak in. And he starts preaching about this man that's coming. And he's preaching real good. He's preaching real good until something comes over this man. And he noticed who snuck into the crowd. Is that Herod? And then he points his bone. It's unlawful for you to be with that woman. Oh, no, he didn't. Oh, no, he didn't. Put it all on social media. No, he didn't call sin sin. No, he didn't call it out. No, and matter of fact, how dare he tell me I can't have my boo thing? How dare he tell me that my relationship is wrong? Oh, my goodness, church hurt, hashtag church hurt, because the pastor called sin, sin. My God, if we ever needed a voice in 2025, it's today. Preach against sin, pastor. Preach it straight. Preach to me, man of God. But all the preacher was doing was standing on a principle given in Leviticus 18. Leviticus 18 and 16 states, thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of thy brother's wife. It is thy brother's nakedness. Verse 17 also says, thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of a woman and her daughter. Neither shalt thou take her son's daughter or her daughter's daughter to uncover their nakedness. It is wickedness. Leviticus 20 and 21 states that it is an abomination to God and that they will go childless. Can you imagine the weight of what the preacher had to tell this man that had the ability to kill the preacher, but the preacher was bound to a call? You think the preacher just doesn't want you to be happy. But no, God called him to do exactly what he's doing. And there's sometimes, in order to save you, he's got to confront what's in your life. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. But can you imagine? Can you imagine here tonight? Let's go with me. Just picture it. As he hears what the preacher says, that you got to go do something. You got to go fix something. You got to make things right. And the Bible says that Herod heard him gladly and did many things. But just imagine having to go home and tell the boothang what the preacher said. Oh, can you imagine? Oh, can you imagine going home and Herodias is sitting there. Hey, Herod, where you been? Well, I went to the wilderness. I went to the desert to hear the preacher. I thought we agreed we weren't going back to that church. I thought we agreed. You know, he's a little radical about his thinking. He's a little radical about things we can and can't do. I thought we weren't going there anymore. It's a little too much. Okay, well, just don't go back. Okay, baby, we won't go back. What did he preach about, though? Well, he was preaching real good until he started exposing things. Tell me I'm going to be blessed. Tell me I'm going to have $1 million, but don't tell me to cut things out of my life. I enjoyed the message until he told me that I couldn't have my cake and eat it too. I was enjoying the rally until the preacher started saying, the relationship you're in is not right. Oh, it was real good until. It was real good until. And can you imagine as Herodias sitting there and he tells her, excuse me? He said what? Oh, no, he didn't. He told we got to break up. I wonder if Herodias' response maybe sounded a little bit like this. He puts his pants on the same way that you do. What authority does he have to tell you you can't do something? Oh, I feel a little resistance to what I'm saying right now. I mean, come on. I mean, he's just a man. Who is he to tell you that you can't love somebody? Love is love, right? He heard him gladly and did many things. But there is a danger when somebody tells you you need to do something and you'll do everything else except that one thing. You'll do everything else, but I'm going to cut that out. I don't want to let that go. I don't want to surrender that to God. You better be careful because the Bible tells us to love the Lord your God with all. With all, he's not going to take your leftovers. He's not going to take your 50%. He wants all. Oh, yes. Can you imagine as Herodias now is trying to realize what is going on and what the preacher is requiring. And the Bible says this in Mark chapter 6 and verse 19, that Herodias had an issue. She had a quarrel. But that word quarrel means a grudge, feelings of ill will towards an individual. Rather than repent and change, she got her feelings hurt. The pastor didn't have to say it like that. Critical of every little thing. Critical of everything the youth pastor tells you. Critical of anybody with any type of authority trying to help you out. Well, they just don't want me to be married. They don't want me to be happy. And everything's an issue when somebody tells, hey, can you vacuum the floor? How much money am I going to get for doing it? I always need something, and I can't just do it for the kingdom. I can't sow my time into the kingdom. I always got to get something in return. You know, she had an issue, and she heard him and did many things except one. John was a voice. But the problem is that anytime a preacher preached to you, there will always be a competing voice. And I'm already fighting it right now. There's competing voices in some of your lives right now. Some of it looks like a parent. Some of you, it's friends sitting next to you. Some of it is a relationship or somebody that you left at the house. And there is a competing voice competing with this preacher right now, saying you don't need to listen to that type of preaching. That sounds like a bunch of legalism. That sounds like a bunch of rules. But you got to remember, if you're going to get out of Egypt, you've got to have a shepherd. God help us tonight. Can you imagine? Can you imagine the world that Herod is put into, the middle that he's having? Do I listen to the preacher, or do I listen to the voice of this immoral relationship? I'm faced with a choice. I'm faced with a decision. Herod is struggling with, do I keep listening or do I do something? I'm going to tell you where our young people struggle. It's right here. Is you hear real good, but you don't do anything about what you heard. A lot of you going to go to NYC, I'm so excited. A lot of you going to go to camp, I'm so excited. But you hear message after message after message after message after message. And here's the question I'm going to ask you. As your parents invest, God help me right now, as your parents invest in you and your church invests in you, what did you do with what you heard? Well, it was a good story. It was good preaching. It was good this. But did you apply it and take it home? The Bible tells us that we cannot be hearers only, but we must be. Hold on. We cannot be a hearer only, but there must be action involved with what we have heard. But I'm afraid we're living in a world. Oh, that's good preaching. And then something we don't like, we tune the preacher out. I was preaching a camp in Texas last year. I had a crazy first service. 40 people got the Holy Ghost the first night. And then we hit a snag somehow, some way. I said, man, after, you know, first night, I mean, my God, we should have 60 more get the Holy Ghost. Come on. And then after that, it was just tough, fighting and fighting and fighting. And then, boy, I started feeling something come on me, a fighting spirit. I started getting mad. In the spirit, of course, I wasn't going to punch nobody, you know. I started getting mad. And then I realized this one cat, kid. This one young person, He's got his hood on in church. And that old school in me started, take that hood off, boy. And I noticed that out of all the 450 kids, he was the one that never seemed to get a breakthrough. So now I'm curious. What is it about him that's different than the other kids, the other 40 that's got, why is he not getting his breakthrough? And then one time I said, you know what, I know it's a district event, but I don't care. I just got to be me. I told him, I said, hey, boy, hey, man, take the hood off. You in church. Take the hood off. And then as soon as he took the hood off, I realized why he wasn't getting his breakthrough. He had AirPods in his ear. He couldn't hear the word. And that's why he was stuck in the rut. He couldn't hear the preaching. But you got to understand that if I'm going to be saved, it's by the foolishness of preaching that saves us. It's by the preached word of God that is going to save us and sustain us. But I can't just hear it. I've got to do something. I can't just hear it, but I've got to make a decision. got to make a decision. But the reason why a lot of young people fall by the wayside is because when it's decision time, the key word to decision is scission. There has to be a cutting away. So don't make me, preacher, cut anything out. Just let me keep it. Don't make me decide what I'm going to do. I got to be happy. It's about everything that you get in this earth. I mean, let me be happy, Brother Jones. I've come to preach past the facade you put on tonight. And I come to preach against that voice that some of you young people have been giving an ear to. And let me just, I may get canceled. I've been canceled before. It's okay. But, oh, God. You know, some of you would make it if you turn off all that worldly music. Oh, time out. You know, the Taylor Swifties. Hold on. Your Lil Wayne, you know, your Drake. I'm sorry. Am I in your playlist right now? Are you getting angry? Are you getting mad? Listen, if you don't believe that when you start listening to music, it's scientifically proven that your heart starts beating to the beat of the song. Oh, well, it don't affect me, Brother Jones. It don't affect me until you come into church and the only thing you can sing is all your worldly music. Those artists are not just artists, they're preachers. And they're preaching to you, saying, lose your virginity, do whatever you want to, sell drugs, smoke weed, do whatever you want to. YOLO, you only live once. The devil is a liar. You've got to learn to listen to the right voice. You've got to learn to listen to the right voice. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. I feel we're digging somewhere. We're getting somewhere now. I can feel it. No, I'll talk to anybody, and I want to meet everybody after service. I want to hang out with all of you. But I'll talk to anybody that can convince me that you can make heaven your home and not be affected by worldly music. Well, it's just my country music, Brother Jones. I just love my country music. Don't touch my country music. But every time you listen to it, you want to do immoral things. It's because you've opened your heart. You've opened your spirit to a voice. You've opened yourself to a competing voice. God, help me tonight. But I'm going to ask you a question that this generation has to get. The Lord told me a few weeks ago that this generation has to get a revival of discernment. And I want to ask you a question here tonight. Can you discern between a friend and a foe? Can you discern when the enemy places somebody in your life to trip you up? Can you discern when the conversations is always questioning why you do what you do? Ask the woman if she can discern between a friend and a foe. Of all the trees of the garden you can eat, but that one, don't touch it. And then there's another voice that shows up in Genesis 3 that says, oh, he really said that. God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened and ye shall be as gods. Now the woman has a choice to make. Do I obey Adam? Do I obey God? Or do I listen to the competing voice that's saying there's something better outside of the will of God? There's something outside. Man, there's an, oh my, oh, I feel this right now. There's nobody in my church today. So the only way I'm going to marry somebody is that I flirt to convert. Man, my church only runs 20 people. And if I'm ever going to get married, I got to holler at the guy that keeps checking me out. I'm sorry. Am I too real tonight? And so if we're not careful, we'll allow that competing voice to say, you know what? You ain't got to really keep yourself to marriage. That's so like 30, 40 years ago. You really don't have to do that anymore because God's a God of mercy. God will forgive you. It's that competing voice. Because that voice understands that God's not going to accept you just coming to the altar and saying, forgive me. Hold on. If your direction hasn't changed. If your direction doesn't change, repentance is not about a feeling. Repentance is about a direction. Do you have discernment between a friend and a foe? Do you know who's trying to help you, who's trying to hurt you? But what sin does is it tries to manipulate and make you cynical. My youth pastor just doesn't want me to be happy. Man, maybe that was a sign. I need to stay right there. Now just, you know, that church, it's just a bunch of manipulation. And my question to you is, who did you hear say that? Because that's not how you talk. That's something you heard somebody say. And you started regurgitating it. Do you know the difference between a friend and a foe? But I'm going to tell you that this competing voice that some of you are dealing with doesn't just show up once a week. It competes every single day. Judges 16:16. And it came to pass, Samson and Delilah, when he was pressed, when she pressed him daily. Daily. With her words. Samson, tell me where your strength lies. That consecration, that Nazarite vow isn't necessary. You still got that. You can do that on your own. You really don't need that. Please, Samson. And that word press means to apply pressure. And it gets heavier and heavier and heavier as the day goes by. Won't leave you alone. It's a competing voice. Goliath would show up twice a day, morning and night, and said, send me a man. Joseph and Potiphar's wife, Genesis 39:10. And it came to pass as she spake to Joseph. You mean to tell me that every day this temptation is going to show up? Yep, sure is. And you're not going to shut its mouth. Oh, I'm sorry. Is this too real? You mean to tell me every day that I wake up, I'm going to be bombarded by voices? Yep. Yep. But let me tell you something, that if you can learn that God has given us a tool to combat the voices, Matthew 6:11, put it on the screen. Give us this day our daily. The way I combat the voices every day is I get in my word every day and I say, God, help me. God, strengthen me. God, direct me. This is the only way you can combat the voices. It's the only way. If Joseph can sustain from the temptation, so can you. How did Jesus overcome temptation? He would use the word, it is written. How can a man tell me I can't do something? How can a man tell me that I can't go somewhere? Let me tell you, if you're not careful and you start listening to the wrong voice, you're going to be one of those that people look back and say, what if? What if she would have listened? I wonder what Samson could have been if Samson would have listened to the right voice. I wonder what some of you could be tonight if you'd put away all those competing voices and say, there's only one voice I'm going to hearken to. But let's go back to our text here tonight. And I'm getting ready to close here in a few minutes. Hold on. Herod has a choice to make. Now, I'm going to pick on some people right now. Some of you, I just need a girl to help me. Oh, she picked you. Come on. What's your name? Bailey. Come stand over there. Give Bailey a hand. She's great. So Herod's in the middle. I don't want to be Herod. Let me pick somebody else. Come help me. Pick on the pastor's kids. Okay. Now Herod has a choice to make. He's in the middle of two choices. Do I choose the preacher or do I choose? She's a lot cuter than he is. She's way more attractive. She appeases the flesh a whole lot more than that preaching that cuts me. I think I'd rather go to over there. So you know what he does? And this is what we do. He lives in the middle. Because I don't want to make a decision. Let me live in the middle. So you know what he does? He says, I hear what you say, girl, and I ain't letting you go, but I love to hear that preaching. So you know what I'm going to do? In order to make both parties happy, I'm going to keep my girlfriend, keep my wife, and I'm going to put him in prison. Hold on. Herodias wanted to kill the preacher, but he said, no, we're not going to go that drastic. Let's just put him in prison so the preacher and the voice is out of the way. And I can still live my life. There are some commentators that believe that Herod would go to the prison to hear John the Baptist preach. And his message never changed. You got to repent. Come on, preacher. Come on, man. Come on, man. I saved you. That should be good enough, right? Repent. Come on, preacher. Come on. Are you serious? You got to make a decision. Come on, preacher. Don't make me. Come on, preacher. Don't let me live in the in-between. Come on. There was a story my friend told at a conference, and I told him I was going to steal it. But he said there was a man that was sitting on the fence, and there was an angel on one side and the devil on the other side. And the angel would say, come over here, there's peace and joy and everlasting life. And the devil would tell him, well, if you come over on this side, there are no rules and regulations. Sin is pleasurable for a season. Come over here. Sow your wild oats. Have fun. And then they kept going, trying to get the man's allegiance. And then the angel leaves and the devil leaves, but the devil comes back. But he doesn't come back any type of way. He shows up laughing. And the man that's sitting on the fence is looking perplexed, saying, "What? Why are you laughing at me?" And he says, what you don't realize is that I own the fence. And you can stay there as long as you want to. Oh, hold on, listen. The devil's saying, yeah, you just stay in the in-between. You don't have to make a choice. You stay there. The devil is okay. Man, I feel the Holy Ghost right now. The devil's okay with you coming to church. I know some of you don't believe that. He's okay with you coming to church as long as you go back home and give him a little bit that day. He's okay with you being at this rally tonight. Just don't make no decision. Just don't cut it off. Don't take the apps off your phone. Keep your secret apps. Keep your secret relationship. Keep it, you know, it's not that bad. It hasn't become physical yet. My goodness, if I felt direction, I feel it right now. It hasn't become physical yet. It's just pictures right now. Just stay on the fence. But I can still feel the presence of God even at a youth rally. I can still feel the goosebumps. It can't be that bad, right? Can you discern? I feel something for some of you young ladies right now. Can you discern when a young man's trying to destroy you? Can you discern when a young man's trying to take your purity? Well, I did. Oh my word, I feel something so specific right now. Well, Brother Jones, my dad wasn't in my life. And you're seeking affirmation. And that young man's telling you everything you want to hear. It's a competing voice. God, I hear the call. But if I accept the call, I've got to let him go. I've watched more young people backslide over relationships than any other thing. Because I don't want to cut it off. I feel something deep in this room right now. Some of you, I pray to God to give me strength and authority to preach to some of us. That we've got to make decisions tonight that are not going to be comfortable. Your calling is worth the decision you've got to make tonight. Brother Sean, come help me on the piano. I'm closing. I'm just going to stay in the in-between. But the problem with that is the Bible would make this statement that when a convenient day, everything lined up. I didn't make a decision, so it can't be that bad. And a convenient day shows up. Guess who shows up and guess who's not satisfied? Herodias is not satisfied until he's dead. So you know what happens when the relationship stays and you want to keep the preacher? What's the thing that's going to kill the preacher? Your indecision still has the preacher alive, but what's the thing that cuts the head of the preacher off? What's the final straw? The Bible says that he's just chilling, relaxing, it's his birthday, and then all of a sudden, as he's relaxing and has all his friends together, and somebody opens the door. You know who opens the door? Salome. Salome. Your niece. Your niece. And when she shows up, she doesn't show up any type of way. But there are commentators that believe that when she walked to the door as the entertainment, that she would show up dancing in a circular motion. Do you know what killed the preacher eventually? Entertainment. God, I'm so burdened for this generation. We don't realize that entertainment is numbing us to the preacher. Entertainment is numbing us to the voice. Entertainment! I don't care if you label me. I don't care what you want to say. But I grew up on old time Pentecost. I grew up in conviction preaching. And those elders had something. When they drew the line, they had something. Let me watch what I want to watch. Let me listen to what I want to listen to. And then when it shows up, it's going to get exactly what it wants. A generation that can't hear. what Herod says? Oh, Salome. You would think that there would be an awkwardness there because his niece is trying to entertain him, which tells me that Herodias knew what made Herod tick. He was a pervert. Perversion is killing our generation. Oh, hold up. Pornography is killing our generation. It's killing us. Some of you are dying in silence because you have an addiction. You don't want anybody to tell you because you're dealing with shame. Shame is killing us. It's numbing us. God, I've asked God to help me tonight to reach kids. Help me to reach kids. So, you know, you did good. You did look good. You look good, Salome. You pleased me well. I'll give you up to half the kingdom. Surely she'll want something monetary. Surely I can give you some money because you appeased me so well. Surely. But commentators believe that when she came in dancing, that the closer she got to Herod, she started taking her clothes off. Hold up. So at the beginning, it looked innocent. Oh, it's not that big of a deal. It's just a relationship. It's not that big of a deal. I mean, he comes every now and again. It's just not that big of a deal. It doesn't seem like what it's going to be in the end. God help us. There's people, young people, that are at a crossroad tonight of what you're going to become. You pleased me well, but surely she wants some money. She's just a child. Surely she just wants something like maybe a chariot. Bob says she goes back to her mama. You were right. He fell for it. What should we ask for? The only thing I want is a thing that makes me uneasy at night. And it's that voice. It's that preacher. Go kill him. It's the only thing that can keep me from staying in your life. Go kill him. You don't need that legalism. You don't need all those rules. Kill the preacher. Kill him. I wonder what Salome did when she heard her mama make that request. Are you serious? We're going to kill the voice? Yeah, go. And the Bible says that Herodias, Salome, that after she heard the command of her mom, made haste. Wonder what would happen to Herod is when he heard the message, he would have ran. I wonder what would happen if young people could hear the message and they say, I've got to do something now. There's an urgency now. I got to make a decision now. I got to run and do. But listen, what happens is we say, I'll do it when I get home. And then when you get home, something interferes and you never do it. And then it comes to another service and you say, I'll do it at NAYC. And then something happens at NAYC and you don't do it. And it becomes a cycle. Cycles. So he goes back. She goes back to tell Herod, hey, this is what mommy wants. She wants the head of the preacher. And the Bible says that he was exceeding sorrowful. But for the old sake. Do it. Can you imagine as the executioners come and they grab the voice and he says, where are you guys taking me? We have a demand from Herod to cut your head off. maybe tears ran down the voice's cheeks. Maybe I should have prayed harder. Maybe I should have fasted more. They didn't become a doer. That's what some of you guys are struggling with. It's taking what you heard and bringing it, not through here, but right here. You're saying, God, I'm tired of living this way. I'm tired of living as a chameleon. I'm tired of it. I'm ready to give my life completely to you. I'm so tired of it. But listen, I'm closing. This is what I got to ask. I wonder if Herod wasn't doing his own little dance. What is repentance? It's a 180. But I wonder if he had intentions to repent. But every time he turned to go the other way, it became a cycle, a 360. I promise after this rally, I'm going to do it, Brother Jones. I promise at NAYC I'll do it. But what happens when your cycle brings you face to face with not the voice, but the man who would send the voice? Because the Bible says that Herod would be face to face with not just any man, but he would be face to face with God manifest in the flesh. And the Bible says something strange, that when he comes into contact with Jesus, that Jesus opened not his mouth. That's not God-like, y'all. Surely, with a sinner, Jesus would open his mouth and maybe tell him to repent. Maybe he'd reiterate the message, that the voice, but he stands there. You know what shuts the mouth of God quicker than anything? Is when you won't listen to the angel he sent you. You know why Jesus didn't speak? Because what would Jesus have to say when he already sent him a voice? What do you want God to say to you? God, speak to me. Give me direction. And on Sunday morning, God sends you an angel. And he says, you're in the wrong relationship. And you say, well, God, send me, speak to me. God already sent you a Bible says that the anointing flows from the head down. But what happens when you cut the head of the preacher off? It destroys the flow. Tell me, the anointing's flowing and you don't have a pastor in your life. You don't have anybody that can tell you no. Oh, Brother Jones, yeah. All these groups are telling you, you don't need a pastor. The devil's using them because they know that if you got authority in your life, you can make it. Let's stand. Thank y'all. Thank you. Let's stand. I want everybody to close your eyes and lift your hands right now. Let's pray. Come on, let's pray. Come on. Come on, let's pray. Come on, let's pray. Listen to me as I'm about to close. Romans 10 and 14 would state, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him who they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a voice? Luke 16 and 28, very alarming words from a man who's in hell. For I have five brethren that I may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Abraham said unto them, they have Moses. They already got shepherds. And if they can't hear the shepherd, if they can't hear the pastor, no reason to resurrect anybody from the dead. Amos 8 and 11 would tell us that there would be a famine of hearing. But I'm ending the service tonight with a tragedy. A man that was unlikely to be a king over Israel, a man by the name of Saul, that was head and shoulders above everybody else. God would send this man as a king over the children of Israel to try to help them. And Saul got a little too big for his britches. And God would send a man of God to warn him. He wouldn't listen. And the Bible says that he rent the kingdom from Saul. But what is the consequences when I don't listen to the man of God? 1 Samuel 28 and 6. Because you won't listen to Samuel, he inquired. He prayed. He asked God to give him a word. And the Lord answered him not. Don't ask God for a word when he's already sent you a voice. Holy Ghost is here right now. Listen, I won't. This is what I'm going to do. The pastor told me to do what I feel, so if you there's people here that get frustrated with this, I'm sorry. I've got to obey God. I'm more worried about obeying God than obeying man. But I'm telling you right now, there's deliverance in this house. Listen to me. There's deliverance in this house. And there's not a bigger fan of this generation than this preacher right here. But I know what you're facing. I know the voices that bombard your mind. And I've got a question to ask you. Do you want freedom? Do you want it? I need somebody to, you want it? Raise your hand if you want it. All right, listen. See, this ain't just an altar where you come empty-handed. No. We're gonna lay some on the altar tonight. I did this at Texas camp, and I wish some of the people that were there were here tonight. Were you there at the Texas camp? South Texas camp. I literally asked the young people to come lay their phones on the altar. And preachers said, literally, as they let it go, they could feel the shift in the room. Brother Sergeant, who I was preaching with, literally said, my God. And it's through the avenue of our phones that some of these voices have been bombarding you. So this is what we're going to do right now. I need one person. Yeah, Brother Jones, you ain't supposed to do it like that. Oh, yeah, we're going to do it like this tonight. I need one person that's desperate, that ain't waiting for your youth group to get out of the seat, that'll say, tonight's the night I make a decision. I need one person that's bold enough to say, hold up. I don't want you to come empty-handed. I want you to go grab your phone. I'm about to lose people right here. I already know. I'm about to lose people. You feel that? You feel that? You felt the shift that just happened? Don't come empty-handed. Bring your phone and stand up. Come on. Don't come empty-handed. My God, have mercy. My God, have mercy. You feel that? I feel there's something shifting in the atmosphere right now. I feel freedom. I feel chains about to break. I feel things about to break off of you. I feel things about to break off your mind. I feel things about to break. I feel God about to break some perversion off of you tonight. I feel God about to break chains off of your mind and your spirit. I want to go deeper. I want to go deeper than I've ever gone before. I'm not going to allow a voice to stop me. I'm not going to allow the accuser of the brethren to stop me. But I'm going to listen to your voice. I'm going to get victory over this voice. I'm going to get victory over the thing that tries to pull me back. I'm going to get victory. I come against homosexuality right now. I come against it. There's a spirit right now in this building that's trying to tell a young man you're a homosexual. The devil is a liar. I come against that voice. You are not what your feelings tell you are. You are not what your feelings tell you are. You are not what your heart tells you. Come on, pray. Come on, church, pray. There are chains breaking all over this building right now. There are chains breaking all over this building. God help us.